Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Siri, and each week I interview military veterans about their civilian career. Today's episode number 103 with Dr. Felicia Hacker.
And then there's other people who have in their head ideas they think are ridiculous, dreams that they're afraid to pursue because of failure, and we're all afraid to fail. But I say, while you have kind of that safety net, go ahead and investigate it. Dig into it deep. And then make kind of a plan, you know, work backwards. Okay, this is the goal. So assess what you have. I have this on hand, and what do I need? And sometimes, you know, plans, you have to go back and course correct. Be okay with that. It's not a bad thing sometimes. We don't really give ourselves, we beat ourselves up because we made a plan and it didn't go the way we thought it was, but that's okay. Always look back, reflect, and try to say, okay, how can I grow from this?
Well, Felicia has a great story, and I just really admire her candor and her honesty in sharing it, because it's a story that I think is true for many, many veterans, myself included, which is that the journey after the military is this road of discovery and kind of taking leaps of faith and oftentimes not knowing what to do and making a lot of mistakes along the way. You're going to hear her story of how her and her husband, both Air Force veterans, they decided to leave the military at 12 and 15 years respectively, which is very uncommon with that much time in to take that leap of faith. But they trusted their gut. They left with their new baby daughter. They bought an RV and spent a year traveling around the United States. And in along with that journey, where she was a full-time mother, she ends up pursuing, she became a doctor. She pursued her EDD in as an expert on female veteran transitions into post-secondary education. And because of this wealth of knowledge, she has so many great insights to help, especially those on active duty right now, thinking about their transition. But as someone who's been out for 8 years now, I found a lot of what she has to share about morning pages, about the hack method of kind of figuring out what to do next. I found it very encouraging. And most of all, I just found her story inspiring of continuously taking leaps of faith and really getting out of her comfort zone. And so, as always, at beyondtheuniform.io, you'll find show notes, you'll find contact information for Felicia, where you can email her. You'll also find her companies, Hacker Associates and Dog Tag Divas. And so with that, let's dive in to my conversation with Felicia Hacker. Well, joining me today in Sacramento, California is Dr. Felicia Hacker. Felicia, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Thank you so much for inviting me to be a part of this. I'm excited.
Me too. For our listeners, I wanted to give them a quick rundown on your background. Felicia is the president at Hacker Associates Consulting, CEO of Dog Tag Divas, and adjunct professor at Brandman University, where she also received her Doctor of Education in Organizational Leadership. She started out in the Air Force, where she served for 12 years along with her husband, who served in the Air Force for 15 years. She faced many challenges after her separation from the military and ultimately chose to pursue her EDD on female veterans transition into post-secondary education. Using this understanding of transitions, she now seeks to help other veterans diagnose where they are and construct a plan to reach their goals. And so, Felicia, I guess the first question I'd have for you is, for someone who's on active duty, how would you explain what you do for a living?
So I tell everybody, no matter where you are in your career, there's a transition that's going to happen, be it you PCS, retire, or decide to separate from the military. So when you're active duty, you're in a community that you're used to. And it's the same as when you deploy or you PCS to a new duty station, a transition occurs and you have to get used to that. However, you're going to transition usually to another community that's understanding of your journey. For me, and in my experience with my husband, we figured out that we transitioned out of that community that was safe. It was wonderful. Even though, you know, some days were hard, after the fact, looking back, we realized we were very comfortable. And when we left and joined the civilian sector, we were out of our comfort zone, A lot of people didn't understand our journey. You do a lot of explaining, and then you kind of feel weird and you feel like a fish out of water. So it took a little bit for us to navigate those waters. I think we're finally there, but it doesn't happen as easy as people would think, or especially even if you're excited to leave. I think I still see people who encounter that same thing. All of a sudden, you're like, what? This is different than I expected.
Yeah, I believe so. I think in a lot of the interviews that comes up is it's just it can be this unexpected transition. And I agree. I didn't realize at the time how much of the familiar I took for granted. And then all of that goes away after the transition. So there's quite a lot to figure out.
And not only for you, for I've started noticing for the family. You know, they already kind of were in maybe in two worlds, if you will. You know, they go to work a lot of times in school amongst civilian population, but even they have to deal with you transitioning, and life usually ends up different from them. So that's something new I'm looking at with some of the family members, trying to help them navigate the waters as well.
And so how do you divide your time between, you know, in the introduction, there's like so much that you do, it seems like, on a day-to-day basis. I'm wondering, what does your week look like, and how do you divide your time between three different positions?
So the two, HAC and Dog Tag Divas, are merging. And for me, this is one of those things. So I was also diagnosed with PTSD and ADHD, which are funny. I'm learning on my own that there's different things I have to do to keep myself on track. For instance, I have to live by to-do lists, and my to-do list cannot just be to-do. It has to be made up of must do, should do, and could do. And I take great pleasure into scratching off as I go. They also cannot be on just a regular white piece of paper. I have to put it on a honking bright piece of yellow or orange. I have two children also with my husband. They're 8 and 5, very active in sports. He coaches both kids. My daughter is now playing competitive softball. So it's just a matter of like taking advantage of time when you have it. When I'm sitting somewhere, when she's at piano practice, you know, I take advantage of that time. If I'm standing in line at the post office, I have Dropbox. I'm working on documents usually. That's just how my brain functions. I don't sleep well. So there's times that I'm like, this is ridiculous. I'll just go downstairs and try to figure something out, or I'll sit and sketch something out, or a new idea hits me and I'm like, oh, that would be so cool. And I run downstairs. It's just how I'm wired. I'm finally starting to accept that.
I am wired the exact same way with to-do lists. I get such a rush out of crossing things off, and that's completely how I organize my days around those lists. Let's go back to, you know, on active duty. Your husband and you were both on active duty together. How did you make that decision to transition from the military?
It wasn't an easy one. I'm an Army brat. My parents were dual military. My mom decided to get out when I was about 2. And, you know, we followed my dad all over. I grew up mostly in Europe. So this is all I know. And the reason I went into the military is because I recognized on my own that I was not ready for college. And I honestly think I would have wasted my parents' money, because my dad was a strict Army guy, and I honestly can say I probably would have partied hard and probably would have got myself in a little bit of trouble. So I decided to join the military. Actually was going in the Marine Corps originally, and the Marine recruiter unfortunately did not take me serious and kind of treated me unfairly. So on my way out, I happened to see the Air Force recruiter and stopped and talked to him, and was so excited about this journey. And again, looking back, it was safe. It was something I already understood. So I did well. And then I wanted to do something different. I was a photographer. I wanted to kind of try something else out. I kind of kept getting this gnawing feeling that this is a good job. I can't knock it, but there's something else out there for me. I'm not sure what it is. So that's the hard part, when you want to try something, but you don't even know what you want to try yet. And then we found out that we were going to have our daughter. And I grew up with a rough kind of childhood. my mother was the aggressor in our home, and we had domestic violence issues. And I don't have a really good relationship with her. So when we found out we were going to have a child, that for me was like, I want to be that mom I didn't have, quite honestly. And I told my husband, I don't think I'm built to be a mom and a military member. And he said he understood. And I told him, we'll follow you wherever. But for me, I think I need to be there. One of us needs to be there. And then he kind of gave it some thought, and he kind of grew up with the same background. And he thought, you know what? I don't want to miss any of our child's life either. So then we're both looking at each other like, are we really saying this? You have 15 years in. I have 12. Are we really going to do this? And, of course, everybody tried to talk us out of it, told us how ridiculous we were. And, you know, honestly, we're both type A people. For us to do something like this, I could see why a lot of people were concerned. And, like, this is completely out of character for the two of you. But when we made the decision, it's weird. A peace came over us, and I was like, you know, this must be right. I don't have any reservations. The only thing, my caveat was, I want us to finish our master's before we get out. I really pushed him into that. So we finished our master's on, like, December 7th, and that following January, our undergrad, December 7th, and we rolled right into our master's January. And then we finished up right after we had her, I believe. And then we decide to purchase a 35-foot RV, and we traveled the country for a year, and it was great. I look back, and that was the most exciting adventure of my life. There's parts I do miss, definitely, about the military, but I think we made the best decision for us as a family at the time.
What advice would you have for maybe someone listening who's on active duty, and they're trying to figure out, you know, they know eventually they'll get out of the military, and they're trying to figure out at what point to do so. And it is so interesting because it's rare with someone with 15 years to get out. Any advice you would have for them about thinking about listening to that voice whenever it says this is the right time to leave?
Yeah, definitely. So I think we all have it at different times throughout the career, but if it's something that's reoccurring and you start to feel that draw, and you don't know what to do with it, I say investigate that feeling. Like, why am I feeling this way? You know, if you could change jobs and stay within the military, maybe that's something you should explore. But if you feel like it's something that's calling you outside of that realm, what is it? And if you can figure out specifically what it is, then investigate how to make that happen. So I recently worked with someone who decided that they wanted to open a catering business, which is awesome. However, you need to learn everything you can about that field, that line of work right now. So if that means on the weekends, you can find someone to kind of intern with, if you will, then maybe you should look at that, because in the end, they found out it wasn't what they thought it was going to be, and maybe it's not their calling. It's something they like to do for fun. But when you're talking about doing something full time as your work, that's a little different. So I would say investigate every avenue you can. And I like to pick up the phone and actually call people who perform that job. Even better if you can find a veteran that does that and kind of get the lowdown on it. But, and then there's other people who have in their head ideas they think are ridiculous, dreams that they're afraid to pursue because of failure. And we're all afraid to fail. But I say, while you have kind of that safety net, go ahead and investigate it, dig into it deep, and then make kind of a plan, you know, work backwards. Okay, this is the goal. This is kind of what I have, my hack model, I call it. We all have power. So harness your power. What is your power in this situation? Well, right now I know I have a paycheck coming in and I have a roof over my head and food. Now I want to get to this specific goal. So assess what you have. I have this on hand, and what do I need? And then after that, capitalize on your opportunities for growth. So I know in 4 years, my enlistment's going to be up. So in 4 years, I want to have this much money in the bank. I want to have this type of training, education. I want to make sure if you have a family, make sure they're at a good place. I've talked to them and got buy-in from the family as well, and not just spring this on them and they don't understand what we're doing exactly. And sometimes, you know, plans, you have to go back and course correct. Be okay with that. It's not a bad thing sometimes. We don't really give ourselves, we beat ourselves up because we made a plan and it didn't go the way we thought it was, but that's okay. always look back, reflect, and try to say, okay, how can I grow from this?
That's great. You know, I was taking notes as you were saying that. I was struggling to keep up. Could you go through that again?
Sorry.
You called it the hack process, and I love the steps you went through. But could you go through just what is that acronym and what are the different
Yeah,
words
absolutely.
for that? Because I thought that was great.
So HACK is from Hacker Associates Consulting, and that's what I do everything on when I approach someone and we're dealing with anything. This is the model we look at. Harness your power. You have power. You might not think you do, but you have power at some point in this situation. What is it? Identify it. After that, let's assess your resources. Usually we have things on hand that we know will help propel us forward, but then there's also things we also need to gather that is going to help us reach that intended goal. Identify them. Sometimes it's not just a thing, it's people, a support system, your tribe, whatever it may be, but everything you can think of that is going to help you and that you need to get in your corner, let's get it on paper. And then capitalize on opportunities. If you see something coming your way, a person, you read about something, you know, go explore it, figure it out. Don't just always assume that the opportunity is going to present itself. Sometimes you have to be, you know, motivated and go out there and find the opportunity. A lot of networking comes along with that sometimes, depending on what it is. But there's always usually an opportunity for you to capitalize and take one step closer. And then sometimes you do it all over again, but you're steadily moving forward to that goal.
That's great. I love that as just a process for people to go through. And I love the assessing of those resources. And just, I can imagine when you work with people, there's probably so many resources they have that they don't even realize. And especially for those on active duty, like, hey, the fact that you're getting paid right now, you don't have to worry about income and you can start to investigate these things. That is a significant resource. That's difficult to replicate once you're out. So I love that thought of just taking stock of things.
So many people I deal with who are still on active duty, especially when it comes to school, they're like, oh, I'll go to school when I'm out. And I always caution them because right now you're comfortable. You don't realize on the outside you pay for everything, that gym membership, you know, your food, your dental, everything. Are you going to have time to do it? So, you know, there may be a couple sleepless nights, but right now you're more comfortable than you know.
Yeah.
And you don't want to hop out. And you're in an uncomfortable situation already and add another stressor. So if you can get any stress, you can say, okay, let me handle now while I have a pretty stable life. Let's handle it now. Let's not put it off.
I love that. I love that thought of, like, you know, realizing this might be the most comfortable time to, and I love front loading that stress, getting some of that stress taken care of while you do have the security of your job. And I also love in that harness your power step, like I think a lot of the veterans I speak with sometimes, those on active duty, there's a feeling of impotence or a feeling of like, there's nothing I can do. I'm just kind of stuck here.
Yeah.
And I think that's such a, I felt that at times, but I think that's like selling them short. And I love that thought of like really proactively, ideally working with someone else to think through like all the different power that they do have in a situation that they might just be overlooking. And I think that gives them probably a lot more energy to actually attack a problem rather than feeling like either a victim or just in reactive mode rather than a proactive mode.
And it's hard.
Yeah.
You know, transition is hard regardless. It's hard and we're so used to, especially, you know, with our regimented, you know, be up at this time, PT, uniform. Now you're starting to talk about things that you have to make decisions for. They're not made for you. And that was hard for me, trying to figure out, like, every day I have to pick out different clothes. Even something that small, but it was overwhelming. So you have to just kind of take a step back and be like, this is new. It's okay for me to feel overwhelmed.
Mm.
Give yourself permission to experience that, but don't wallow in it.
Mm.
And the same thing happens to a lot of people, you know, in my opinion, who are on active duty. We get so short-sighted, but you just get blinders on and you forget to lift your head up and just orient yourself to, you know, I was 18 when I came into this. Now I'm 24. What's different about me? I don't probably have the same, you know, maybe needs, maybe I've developed a little more, maybe my needs have changed. Just look around your situation and say, okay, this is where I am. And it's okay to be honest with yourself. I think a lot of times we don't like to do that because you may have come in initially and said, I'm going to get my degree in my first 4 years. And that didn't happen. That's okay. Just acknowledge it and say, now what can I do to move forward?
I love that. I love that. I love the recognition of how much change is inevitable, especially like all of us. You know, you get in the military, you are on a cellular level, you are a completely different person when you can actually think about leaving it. So it's like what you wanted to do or what you thought was important to you has probably changed. And I love that thought of giving yourself permission to just recognize the difficulty of that transition and, you know, not wallowing it either. I just think that's spot on advice.
My husband and I were laughing at it the other day. And I told my husband, I feel like a tree. And if you cut a tree, you know, you can count the rings and that tells you the age. But if you think about us as veterans, we came in, you know, me, I was 19 when I came in and I thought I knew everything and I was a certain type of person. But as I grew and you start putting on different layers, you like kind of whittle down, you're different at the core now. You're still 18 or 19 at the core, but you've grown and you have layers and experience now. So on the outside, what now the world sees is completely different. And sometimes you still feel like that person in the middle, that first ring. When I got out, you know, in 2010, for all intents and purposes, I still felt like that 19-year-old who had no idea what she wanted to do with herself. However, now there's layers to me. I'm a mom. I'm a wife. I am now a civilian. I'm supposed to make dentist appointments for my family and get my kids to play date. These layers had been added, but I'm like, I don't know what to do with this. So sometimes you just have to dig through each layer and say, okay, this is where I'm at. This is who I am. This is what I got to do. And then you can kind of become what I call your cohesive civilian self, where you're kind of getting everything back into balance, because I felt out of whack for a little while.
I think so much of what you said resonates, and I love that image, that image of the tree. And it is like there are so many different parts to each of us, and it's just like I love the way you laid that out, where like now you have all of these different unofficial titles and unofficial parts of you. And it's interesting that there is still, because I think for myself as well, like there is still that 18-year-old part of myself that's like, oh, what is it that I do want to do? And it's like there's those parts don't necessarily go away. It's just like you kind of add on and they got to figure out how they all work together. You talked about I love this image too, when you and your husband and your new baby girl, you know, when you're out of the military and you get this RV and you drive around for a year. I'd love to hear more about your journey from getting out of the military until you decided to pursue your PhD, and just kind of how you came to these different realizations.
It was very interesting. So my husband and I are stationed at Whiteman Air Force Base in Missouri, and we turn in our keys to our rental and we're sitting in the driveway, and I look at him, I said, what do we do now? And he says, well, I guess we should drive somewhere. And I was like, where should we go? We knew kind of what we were going to do, but this was one of the things, I think the formalities and just trying to get all the paperwork done, we never really sat down and said, when we pull out of the driveway, where are we going? So I said, well, I guess we could drive to my parents in Oklahoma. And he said, yeah, that'd be cool. And we get there, you know, you're with family, and then you're like, okay, everybody's at work, so now what? Well, I guess we could do this. And we just kind of piecemealed the first part of the trip together. We had the Diners, Drive-In, and Dives map, so we ate our way across America, really. But the interesting thing was while we were in each of these RV parks or, you know, KOAs, we noticed there was almost a subculture of veterans hanging out. Case in point, we were leaving one RV park and cut the wheel too short. It had rained horribly, and we ended up to our rear axle in mud. We had no idea how we were going to get a 35-foot Class A bus out of the mud. And this guy comes up. He starts talking to us. realizes we're veterans, he's a veteran, and then you could see that, like they're one of us. We're going to help. So he calls another guy, and I thought it was interesting watching them because the guy that had the big truck, who was a veteran, they had a barter system. Well, this guy who had noticed us needed something, which was help for us, but the guy with the truck needed some electrical work done in his RV. So they bartered out how they were going to make this happen and help each other. And we talked for a long time, even after they got us out of the mud. And I just realized that a lot of these gentlemen, that transition issue was difficult for them. And a number of them had already experienced homelessness. This was the last step before homelessness, or it was off and on for them. So it was kind of the seeds got planted there, like somebody should do something about this. And it's not just us who are kind of feeling weird. These guys have been out for a while and they're still having trouble negotiating this transition. So after on the road, we found out we were expecting another child. And I said, well, somebody's got to get a job. It's not going to be the pregnant lady. So my husband gets a job. We have our son. And as I'm unpacking our last box in our new home in Georgia, he says, you're going to kill me. I got a job in Sacramento. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, what are we going to do? And he's like, we're going to Sacramento. So we load up a six-week-old and a two-year-old cross country, 5 days across. And we decided I was going to stay home with the kids. And, you know, I don't know if I'm the only person who's ever done this, but I thought the stay-at-home mom gig was probably the easiest job in the world. And I'm like, I got this. 12 years of, you know, being in the military, this is going to be cake. And about after 5 days, I met my husband in the driveway in tears. And I was like, I can't do this. And he's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, I can't do this. I've deployed 3 times and that's easier than staying home with these two. And he's like, oh, what are we going to do? So he's like, just give it a little time. And I happened to be on the couch one day wallowing and just saying, what have I done? And a commercial came on and the lady in the commercial looked so happy. And I thought, I want to be happy like that. So I picked up the phone and called this random university I've never heard of. And they start talking to me about this doctoral degree. They've never done this, so we would be the first class through. And I said, sure, sign me up. I'm a stay-at-home mom. How difficult could this be? And it was a crazy ride. We got through it. My children were 9 months and 3 when I started. I don't know what I was thinking with children so young, but we made it, and I'm happy to report just last Saturday, my husband just walked with his doctorate from the same program. I talked him into it, and he said the reason he did it, he was like, I saw such a growth in you. It was contagious. I wanted to do the same thing. It was really a self-discovery journey for both of us, and I think we've kind of finally arrived at our I don't want to say our true civilian selves, but that's kind of how I feel. I finally feel comfortable.
There's so much I love about your story, and I just appreciate your candor and the in that wildness of not knowing what to do, and also just kind of recognizing that this was, you know, that the stay-at-home wife and mom role was just more demanding and different than what you wanted. And I love just the fortuitousness of seeing that commercial and acting on it and taking action. And I also love this thought of just how you inspired your husband to do this program as well, just because he saw that personal growth that you experienced. And I'm curious, like, what was that education process like for you? And what were some of the things you learned along the way?
I was really lucky. This program, as compared to other people I've talked to, it was really creative. So they allowed me to kind of chart what I was interested in, which was transitions and veterans, and go with it, write papers on it, dig deep, whatever you want. So it kind of became almost addicting because I was discovering information and research articles. And I'm like, why is this stuff in academia? It's, I won't say well-known, but it's traveling and, you know, people can read in, oh yeah, that's true. You know, PTSD, TBI, but the population that really needs this information, why do they not have access to it readily? And it doesn't have to be a research article. You know, somebody can write it where it's a little more digestible for just everybody, But that really bothered me. And I was like, this feels like a well-kept secret. It shouldn't be a secret. And it's not just military members who go through this, but that just happened to be, you know, near and dear to my heart and what I was experiencing at that moment. So then when you kind of put a piece of the puzzle together, it kind of drives you forward to find that next piece. So it just kept, you know, they kept throwing these assignments at me that just kept me digging. And before I knew it, it was kind of like I stood back and I was like, that's the puzzle. And for me, you know, I think when I left, I felt like my resume, you know, we go to the TAPS class. My resume was good. Professionally, I was probably ready to transition. My heart and mind, nobody ever spoke to that piece and transitioned those two. And that was what was lacking for me. And since then, it's what I've experienced for a lot of other people was the heart and mind transition. You know, they send you to basic for so many weeks and they build you up to that team. But when you leave, they don't take that same time to kind of piece you back together was kind of what I ended up with at the end.
Yeah, I love that. I think of the amount of time and money the military plans and programming a civilian to become a warrior. And then it's difficult to imagine how to do that on the other side of like, how do you transition someone to become a civilian? And I love the way that you said that with your heart and mind. That is a piece that seems like it determines a lot of where we end up and what we pursue. And there's not a lot of training, not a lot of guidance on how to uncover that. And I'm curious, especially, you know, in your PhD, in the education process and in all of your work with veterans since then, what advice do you have for them about how do they uncover that heart and mind piece for their own transition?
So I'm a nerd. So, of course, I say there are certain books out there that I really love. And I teach a master's class called Leadership and Creativity. And some of this I'm bringing from that. So it's not, you know, a Felicia Hacker original. But one of the things I have my students do, which I do with them so that, you know, I'm not being one of those people who are saying do. I'm experiencing it as well as morning pages. I don't know if you've ever heard of morning pages, but you can YouTube,
yes.
Just type in morning pages.
Yep.
And, you know, basically you put the pen on paper for what, like 20 minutes. They want you to write nonstop. And, you know, me being me, I thought this isn't going to work, but I'll try it. And honestly, the first 2 weeks was probably to-do lists, random song lyrics, just babble. But what I noticed at the end of 2 weeks was there was a lot of cobweb clearing, if you will. And all of a sudden, there were some things that came into focus. And I thought, that's weird. So I kept doing it. And all of a sudden, I had clarity on some dilemmas going on with me. You know, the stay-at-home mom thing, how to be a better wife, friend, you know, different things I hadn't thought about in years. Something finally clicked like, oh, this happened in childhood. That would explain why I'm this way. So that one little thing I would encourage, I mean, that's free. I would encourage anybody who's facing something, especially a big thing like a transition, just start writing. Put your pen on the paper and just write whatever hits your mind. For a little bit, it's going to be to-do lists and grocery lists. But if you keep with it, you're probably going to find some clarity. And you're supposed to do it first thing in the morning. So I kept a notepad by my bed. As soon as the alarm goes off, I just pick it up and start writing. My problem is I don't stick with it. So a couple weeks later, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm all clear now. And then I put the pen down. And then about 6 months later, I feel that angst coming back. And I'm like, yep, got to start back. Got to clear out these cobwebs. So that was probably the number one tool I'd say that doesn't cost you anything to try. There's a book called Road Trip. Have you ever heard of that one?
I haven't. I'll add it to the show notes, though, for listeners. Road Trip.
It's an awesome book, but I guess on PBS there was a show called Road Trip Nation. It was a documentary series that these people actually got together and wrote a book. And it's called The Get It Together Guide for Figuring Out What to Do with Your Life. And I love this book. I've read it several times. I have a brother who's 22 and kind of struggling in college. I've recommended that he reads it. that one is probably by far one of the ones that will inspire you, but give you kind of a roadmap. And it's about people who, same thing, not all military. I think there might be one or two stories in there, but a lot of them had kind of this charted path. One gentleman, I think he was a big guy in some type of financial industry, but he said he was living for the weekends, Monday through Friday, just getting through it. But on the weekends, he's skydiving and mountain climbing. He's doing all this crazy stuff. And he realized where his passion was and decided to jump into that industry. And he's doing well for himself now. But he found that passion and decided, you know what? Why don't I get paid for what I love? So those are the kind of stories that kind of made me think like, oh, how can I figure out how I can help other people on, you know, the issues of veterans transition and what's important to them so they can finally arrive at where they think they should be as a civilian. So that's another great tool. And then the other thing is, you know, maybe a mentor. That would be my great project if I could get going. A list of mentors in different states that can kind of help, you know, the new people navigate these waters. The school I go to has a mentor program, or I went to, sorry, has a mentor program for the undergrads to reach out to a military veteran to help them get through college. So I'm like, why can't we do that for people who are transitioning out? Just someone to say, I've been there, done that. Here's a couple pitfalls you could see, you might not, but this is what happened to me. Or if you just need somebody to listen because you're scared. There's a couple times my husband and I were like, what have we done? We live in an RV with a 15-month-old, and we stayed the course, and we turned out fine on the other side. And it's a leap of faith sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I think all three of these recommendations are great. I love the morning pages idea. It's definitely convicting advice for me. It's something I've been meaning to get back into. I agree. It's kind of like it's hard because a lot of times you'll get clarity from that, and then you're like, I'm good now, and then the problems and the challenges and kind of the distractions pile up, and then you need it even more. So I think that's such a great habit to get into, and I will have to check out the road trip book. And I totally agree on the mentorship piece, or a coach, or just someone to be able to be that guide of being 5 or 10 years downstream and being able to just kind of provide the wisdom and the advice that could save you years of meandering or making mistakes. I think all three of those are great pieces of advice.
So I just checked my shelf, and the book is called Roadmap.
Oh, Roadmap. Okay. Yeah. Yep. Okay, great. Roadmap. Are there any common mistakes that you see veterans make, or any common maybe misconceptions they have about what life will be like afterwards?
Yeah. I think some of the people I've dealt with, you know, depending where you're coming from, but it's, you know, the old adage, the grass is greener. You think, okay, because nobody's telling you what time to get up, what to wear, that life is going to be easier. But again, a lot of people forget that that's now habit. That's easy. So having to make a lot of decisions on your own, that's huge. One thing I also tell a lot of people who are new or about to do this is, you know, imagine that right now, you know, we're here in the United States and I just plucked you up and dropped you off in England. Granted, they speak English, but there's a lot of different words that have different meanings, and, you know, there's different customs and courtesies. You're going to feel awkward. Although they're speaking your language, there's still some things you've got to learn. So just kind of take that in stride. You know, somebody may not understand, and, you know, you will have those people who have no idea about military life, so they may ask you something that rubs you wrong. You know, the number one that I hear is, you know, oh, you deployed, have you ever killed anybody? Try to take a deep breath before answering. Nobody says you have to answer them. You know, you have to find what makes you feel okay with things like that, but try to remember it's not out of malice. It's out of complete curiosity and maybe ignorance, but, you know, try to school them if you can, if you feel comfortable. But the big piece is just trying to figure out customs and courtesies that you're used to. For me, it was realizing, like, these little mommy groups I'm now a part of. like the things that were earth-shattering to them were not to me. I didn't care. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm losing brain cells listening to this conversation. And it was annoying. And I had to tell myself, their journey is different. My journey is different. You're in a new place. You're trying to learn people. You will find your tribe. This may not be your tribe, but just, it's okay. Just listen. You don't have to talk. You don't have to add anything. But just observe how they interact with each other. Cause that was different. I went to I think we had been out for maybe 3 or 4 years, and my husband had a new coworker, and we were invited to a Super Bowl party. And this is the first time we've been around military members in a while. And without noticing it, all the men were military, and they were in the living room watching the game and talking. I'm a football fanatic, one. And then two, I was comfortable. I had found people who knew my journey. I didn't have to explain things. So I was just comfortable hanging out and laughing and talking. And I realized for the wives, they were not comfortable with me in there, being the only woman in there.
Mm.
And I kind of, you know, caught it, but I thought, yeah, I'm probably being weird. Well, me and a gentleman get in a conversation, and we were talking about deployments, and his wife overheard. He had told me things about his deployment he'd never told her, and she took offense. And when it came up, I told her, you know, it's not because it was me. It could have been anybody in here,
yeah.
And he probably didn't want to worry her, but he didn't have to explain everything to me because I'd been there. I could picture it. I could smell it. You know, it was just easier. It wasn't me. If it had been, you know, somewhere, if he had ran into somebody in Walmart and just found this common ground, he would have shared that same story.
Mm.
I hope that she understood that, but that was one of my first cues. Like, okay, there's social cues here I need to realize and maybe adhere to and just tread lightly. So those are things I think, you know, you have to, as a veteran, think about. Depending on where you are with the situation, you kind of have to learn how to read it, and emotional intelligence. That was a new word I had to learn after I got out. Sometimes you have to apply that, because before you could say something to me and I'm trying to tell you something. I'm not trying to be ugly, but I'm just trying to be clear with you. And I realized, like, ooh, maybe the way I talk to people sometimes, it's not, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to be clear. It could be taken a little different. So learn how to read situations. Sometimes you just have to observe. That's a big one.
Mm.
Observe before you insert yourself.
Mm. I love the analogy with being dropped into the middle of England, and it's like the same language, and yet there's so many differences. I think that's like a great description. And I love that just kind of leading with curiosity and observing and trying to learn, and just the approach of my journey is different. I think that's such a great phrase for each of us, because even within the military, our journeys were all very different.
Yeah.
But then, especially in context of a civilian work environment, like realizing that the experiences we've had are different, and so there will be some misunderstandings on both sides, and there will be some ignorance on both sides. And so trying to give the other person a little bit of understanding and patience, and also hoping that they have that for you as well, as you kind of learn these things, these differences and perspectives.
Yeah, those are huge. You start digging deeper in all these like personality tests and things like that. You know, sometimes if you peruse them, what I've learned is sometimes you can learn how to frame your language depending on the personality type.
Mm.
And that's helped me tremendously. Because before I could tell somebody something and I don't really care how it lands, just it's out there. But now when you're trying to do something and get buy-in and get people to move with you, not against you, sometimes you got to learn how to frame language so it lands with them like the way you want it to.
Mm.
And that's been a tough one, especially as, you know, an NCO, that wasn't exactly probably my strong suit. And, you know, I grew up in a house with an NCO who, you know, my dad was like, this is how it is. Sorry. Keep moving.
You know, one thing I'm just thinking back to is at the start you had talked about the different communities you met in your travels and saw some of the veterans who were struggling with that transition. And it's top of mind. I had a conversation over the weekend with someone who was talking about this very topic. And I'm wondering, like, what, from your work so far, what can us as veterans be doing to help this right now, to try and help those people who have maybe hit some speed bumps in their transition or maybe a little bit lost and not knowing what to do? Like, what can we do to help out our, you know, fellow veterans in that process or in that search?
That's something I'm still trying to answer. My husband and I were just talking about that. Here locally, we have a huge VA center that I just happened to visit not too long ago and recognized they have a special office for homeless veterans. So they can come in, they can get a shower, they can get a checkup, get something looked at. So I want to explore that and figure out, you know, is there something maybe we could put together a team, you know, and go out and just try to help. And sometimes I think, you know, there's a couple I've talked to, I think they just need someone to listen to them. On the other end, I really feel like those TAPS programs, when you're getting out, they fire a lot of information at you. It feels like you're trying to drink from a fire hose. I told my husband, I think that could be a key, though. If you could, as someone who's gone through it, just go talk. Everybody else that came in and briefed when I was getting out, and it may have changed, they were all people who had a job to do. I'm here to brief you about your resume, what to wear, how to do an interview, what your benefits are, how to apply. We didn't talk to anyone who had been through it for any, or and maybe they were veterans. I don't know. I can't remember, but they never talked about, you know, the just nitty gritty of it.
Yeah.
That's another thing. One thing that bothered me when I got out is, as a photographer, you know, we were exposed to all kinds of things. I did everything from coin presentations to autopsies.
Yeah.
And I don't think, you know, no one ever did a mental health check with us. It was just part of our job, and we, you know, we took it in. But on my way out, they diagnosed me with PTSD, and I'm like, yeah, right. Like, nah. You know, that's for people who, you know, went to Afghanistan or, you know, saw some really crazy stuff. I didn't classify the number of suicide scenes I shot or accidental death. I didn't classify that as heavy stuff for some reason. And what bothered me when I got out was they said, okay, you have this, but they gave me not one phone number, asked me where I was planning to land. Here's some resources for your husband. You're probably the first person who's going to notice something with her. Here's a number for you. You're a new mom on top of all this. This is what this could look like. The word triggers was never mentioned to me. It wasn't until I got out in 2010. It wasn't until we moved into this house. So I've been in this house almost 4 years that I realized my route to the grocery store, there is a trigger on that route. And I don't remember how I get there most of the time. I had to stop taking that route.
Wow.
But nobody prepared me for that.
Mm.
So those are things I think when you're getting out, I know they're trying to process you, but somebody needs to take a step back and say, again, that heart and mind piece. We got to look at that.
Yeah.
We got to talk about that. I know we have the lesions, American Legion and all that. In my experience, when I went there, it was very interesting, but it became almost like the older veterans and the younger veterans, almost like comparing war stories, like who had it worse. That's, you know, that's not what we're here for. We're supposed to be helping each other. So that became a turnoff, you know, for a lot of people. So I think there's some things we can do. There's a older gentleman here who's trying to actually start like a veteran community center, which I think would be amazing.
Hmm.
You have your own community center where you come and there's, you know, ping pong and some classes. However, he only wants to keep it open from 9 to 1.
Hmm.
Well, that doesn't help people who are a certain age, you know, and especially the working folks.
Hmm.
That's geared towards retirees only. So I think there's a lot of ideas out there. If we could just kind of marry them together,
yeah,
we could probably make something really amazing happen.
Mm. Well, I love this, and I love all the information you've given for people on active duty and for people who have maybe transitioned that are listening to this. I always like to reserve the last question just to open it up, and knowing that you have an audience of active duty and recently transitioned veterans and maybe even longtime transitioned veterans, is there anything else you'd want them to hear or any other final words of wisdom you'd like to share?
If you are listening to this and you've been thinking about an idea, not sure if you should do it, give yourself permission to try. And I know you're probably afraid to fail, but it's okay. We have in our brains that failure is this catastrophic thing and we cannot fail. But if you think about it, the times you succeed, did you ever stop and think about how you got there? You were so happy. You celebrated that success. It's the times that you fail that you go back and you kind of review the videotape and like, wait, what happened here? And for me, that's usually when I see growth occur, because that's how we learn from that failure. So it may work, it may not work, but it's okay. You know, I try to say have more than a plan A, B, C. That's why we have 26 letters in the alphabet. Do what you have to do. But at the end of the day, try to do what makes you happy. So many of my fellow veterans that I deal with, they retired or quit, you know, transitioned out on Friday, and by Monday, they're in a job that was probably pretty close to what they did in the military, and they hated it in the military, and now they're doing it again. I don't call that living. So if you have something else you think you want to try, just get out there and investigate it. And sometimes it is a leap of faith. Living in an RV for a year was a leap of faith. But right now, I would not trade that experience for anything in the world, and it taught me so much. And you're going to have naysayers. There were family members, people who I love, who tried to talk me out of my master's because I was a mom, tried to talk me out of my doctorate, told me I was going to overeducate myself. Well, depending on the job you want, you know, maybe I will. Maybe I can't apply for certain jobs. But, you know, I'm shooting high. I'm aiming high, is our old Air Force logo. I'm not trying to survive. I want to dream. I want to live. I want to inspire my kids. So if you can dream it, you can probably do it. So allow yourself to dream. It's okay.
I love it. I mean, I love that it's not just words for you either. I know, you know, from the story you've shared, you've really lived that. And I think what a great example for your kids, but also the veteran community, to see someone who took risks and to see someone who is comfortable admitting that there wasn't a roadmap from the start and there was some setbacks and pitfalls along the way, but there was perseverance too. And in the end, it led to something you really enjoy. And I just love this image of you taking on more and more assignments and reading and researching and writing more and just loving this and consuming all of this knowledge and now being able to try and apply that and do it for the benefit of veterans. So I appreciate the work that you're doing, Felicia, and I also appreciate just your just the way that you've shared your story with me and the Beyond the Uniform community.
Well, thank you. I'm super excited to do this, and if anybody wants to contact me, if you want to add my email, I'm okay with that. fhacker@yahoo.
Awesome.
I love talking to people. I've met so many people randomly through Facebook or just random groups that I've helped, and I love doing this. So if you need a cheerleader, I'm here.
I love it. Well, for listeners, in the show notes, I'll add that contact information. I'll add all the resources that Felicia mentioned. And you can also find her at Hacker Associates Consulting, at Dog Tag Divas, and at Brandman University. Thank you so much for your time, Felicia.
Thank you so much.
Surface.
Thanks for listening. Three important notes before you go. First, Audible.com is offering a free audiobook for Beyond the Uniform listeners. I love Audible. I get 3 books a month, and it's a great way to use net, or no extra time, to polish off books while you run, drive, etc. If you go to beyondtheuniform.io/books, you'll not only find this offer, but you'll also find a list of every single book that has been recommended on this show. One in particular I'd recommend is The Hard Thing About Hard Things. This is a great story of determination and also a glimpse at what startups are really like. That's at beyondtheuniform.io/books. Second, there are so many great resources out there for veterans, it can be difficult to know all about them. That's why at beyondtheuniform.io/directory, you'll find a list of every single resource that's been mentioned on the show or that I've been able to find. You can also add your own if you find one I've missed. Lastly, I've put together several different free ebooks that provide data for veterans about their civilian career possibilities. This quantitative information serves as a great complement to the qualitative interviews I do each week. Go to beyondtheuniform.io, click on resources, and you'll be all set. Have a great week, and I'll be back next week with more interviews with military veterans about their civilian career.